Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Friday, September 8th. Yes, the NFL season officially underway. On today's podcast, I'm going to go through the 15 remaining games on this week's slate, talk about some of the bigger storylines for each of them, and some of the rankings updates for each of those games as well. I'm not going to recap last night's game until Monday. On Monday's show, I'll recap all of the games each week. So, in case you were wondering, yes, we'll save it until then to talk about Kadarius Toney's hands. Anyway, I'm going to dive right into it today. I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're going to start with Carolina and Atlanta. I have a projected spread of Atlanta giving 3.7 points in this one. We have big name rookies in this contest, right? We have Bryce Young. We have Bijan Robinson. On the Bryce Young side, first and foremost, as of right now, we may be without DJ Chark. We may be without Adam Thielen, possibly, in this contest as well. Bryce Young and the Panthers offense did not show the ability to move the football very effectively in the preseason, so I wouldn't go overboard here, but I also wouldn't freak out. It's going to take a little bit of time, and I think that's just the moral in general in week one. It could take some time for these offenses. The only player I'm using, and he is a back-end RB2, is Miles Sanders. By the way, if you want fully updated rankings, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I am really excited about Bijan Robinson. He's essentially a better version of Cordarrelle Patterson in this offense. RB6 to start it out in a pretty solid matchup here. Drake London in wide receiver 3 territory. Kyle Pitts still startable. Not overly bullish here, but those are essentially all the usable players in this contest. Moving on to Cincinnati and Cleveland, I have Cincinnati slight favorites. 0.7 points is what they're giving in this one. And Joe Burrow, well, money's probably not an issue for him anymore. Wow. Now, he is coming off the injury. He is a little dinged up, but he should be fine to go. And even in a poor matchup like this, I'm still using Joe Burrow. I did not draft him. Just think about sitting him in week one. Quarterback 8, you know, Chase Higgins, obviously in. Joe Mixon actually has a pretty good matchup here as well. RB9 for Joe Mixon, and he has very minimal competition for touches. Now, the other side's a little bit more complicated. Do you or don't you use Deshaun Watson? Well, if you drafted Watson, I wouldn't have drafted a second quarterback. Remember, there's no such thing as a backup quarterback in fantasy football. In the NFL, if your quarterback gets hurt, your backup quarterback goes in the game. In fantasy, if your quarterback gets hurt during the week, you're screwed. Like, during the game, you're screwed. You're left with their points. You can't put a backup in. So you draft two quarterbacks, but not a starter and a backup. If you drafted Watson, you really shouldn't have drafted a second. And he's quarterback 13, so I'm going to use him. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 18. I'm looking forward to seeing if Nick Chubb gets more work in a passing game. I like Nick Chubb a lot this week. Jacksonville, Indianapolis. Jacksonville, 5.8-point favorites. Start him if you've got him in the Jacksonville passing game. Very nice matchup there. Also a favorable matchup for Travis Etienne. He comes in at RB10 right now for me. I do expect to see some Tank Bigsby, but Etienne set up for a big one here. On the other side, even if Zach Moss is back, I'm trying to avoid this backfield. He may be back. He may need another week. I guess if he isn't back, you could try and jam Deion Jackson into a flex spot, but I really don't like that. RB37 for him without Moss. Not that good. Now, really, the playable options, Anthony Richardson and Michael Pittman. I have Richardson at 12. I am confident that he runs in this game, and if he does run in this game, he will put up at least enough points likely to justify starting in one quarterback leagues. Tampa, Minnesota. I have Minnesota 4-point favorites here. Is Baker the slate breaker? I mean, it's a nice matchup for him, and I like this spot. In Superflex, I actually have him at quarterback 22. He's startable in Superflex, believe it or not, if you don't have any other startable options. But Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, I'm going to do a Baker stack in DFS. Rashad White has no competition for touches, RB21. On the other side, you know you're starting Jefferson and Hockenson. I'm actually going to pump the brakes with Jordan Addison just because I want to see how the targets get distributed. And also, this game script should set up better for Madison than anything. Like, you're never not starting Jefferson and Hockenson, and you're never getting worried about those dudes. But Madison, RB12, should see some volume. And like On the other side, Rashad White, he doesn't have any competition for touches. Kirk Cousins just inside the quarterback ones at 11 among quarterbacks in rankings. Tennessee, New Orleans, I have New Orleans 2-point favorites. On the Tennessee side, I talked yesterday in the podcast about DeAndre Hopkins' matchup. I will be clear about this. That was for DFS. For season-long fantasy football, he's wide receiver 23. He should be in starting lineups in most instances, unless you're completely loaded. Derrick Henry's going to see a, I think the technical term is, buttload of carries in this one, RB4 for me. On the other side, Olave's in, obviously. Michael Thomas, people are like, really? You have him at 32? Yeah. If Michael Thomas is healthy, which he was in three games last year, he's good. The problem isn't his ability. The problem is he can't stay healthy. But if he's healthy, yeah, I'm going to use him. Now, no Kamara. Looks like Kendre Miller is trending towards not playing. At least he missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday. That could mean a lot of Jamal Williams. However, I only have him on the fringe of RB2 territory because it's not the best matchup. He's RB25 for me. San Francisco, Pittsburgh. San Francisco, 4.3-point favorites. Brock Purdy will be back. It's risky to use him as anything more than a back-end super flex option. We don't know where the arm's going to be, but I'm hoping for the best here. I do like Deebo Samuel. I love Brandon Ayuk in DFS. Come on, DraftKings. How about that price point? But he is a wide receiver 3 in season long. You know McCaffrey is a stud. We're keeping an eye on George Kittle. If he's unable to go, what I do, and I broke this down with Kelsey yesterday, but it's plain and simple. I go to the rankings of choice. I use mine. And then I find the highest ranked guy who is on my waivers at tight end, and I start that player. Some people were getting on me because of my Kenny Pickett ranking, quarterback 25. He's facing the 49ers. Like, it's a bad matchup. Temper expectations across the board. RB 18 for Harris, wide receiver 33 for Johnson, 34 for Pickens. Warren is on the outside looking in at RB 41. Just temper your expectations for the Steelers. That's a tough matchup to start the season. It is not a tough matchup for Washington in this Arizona-Washington game. I have Washington 7.1-point favorites. Let's start with the Cardinals, though. It's rare to not have any fantasy options from a team in any given week, and that's not the case for the Cardinals. There's really only one main option and one, I guess, flexi option. The flexi option would be Marquise Brown, but the main option is James Conner. Even if they're bad, he'll be fine, because he's going to be a three-down back with no competition for touches, so he'll catch a bunch of balls. Or if they get the right surprise game script, he'll run the ball a bunch. He's fine. As far as the other side is concerned, I think this is a really interesting spot for Sam Howell to get things started. QB 20. Terry McLaurin trending towards playing. He practiced in full yesterday, so he's going to move into back-end wide receiver 2 territory. Jahan Dotson, a wide receiver 3. This one is more of a Brian Robinson script than an Antonio Gibson script. If Washington is favored, Robinson will likely be the higher-ranked player. If they're underdogs, then Gibson will likely be the higher-ranked player for me. Houston, Baltimore, the largest spread in my projections. I have Baltimore favored by 12 points. Yikes. In that one, on the Houston side as well, we don't have many viable fantasy options. Damian Pierce, back end RB2. I'm going to be closely watching how they use Devin Singletary. I think you could also use Dalton Schultz as a fringe tight end 1, but remember, it could be a little rough because this is CJ Stroud's first start. On the other side, I actually want to avoid the Baltimore passing game. Odell's a little banged up. I love Zay Flowers, but I'm tempering expectations to start. Same with Rashad Bateman. So it's Mark Andrews, who looks like he'll be good to go. And then the two main pieces of the run game, Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins. This is a fantastic matchup for Dobbins. Last year, Houston allowed 5.2 yards per carry to opposing backfields, 22 rushing touchdowns to running backs on the season. This is a good spot for Dobbins, but don't get too overly optimistic if Dobbins gets out to a good start to the season. Green Bay, Chicago. I have Chicago as a slight favorite, minus 0.7. I actually said on air on my SiriusXM show that I'm going to pick Green Bay to win on the money line for this one. But anyway, they're slight dogs, but it should be a close game. Now, there is a problem. Christian Watson not practicing as of Thursday with a hamstring issue. Romeo Doubs limited, so he's trending towards playing. Initially, I had Watson and then Doubs, a big separation between the two, kind of close to what I had him in rankings for draft. I have Watson at 21 and 56 for Doubs. if Watson doesn't go, Dobbs will move basically almost right up to where Watson is. We don't know what to expect out of Jordan Love, but there should be enough work there for Dobbs. As far as Justin Fields is concerned, I have cautious optimism. We know what his ceiling is as a runner. Can he take a step forward as a passer? Well, they brought in DJ Moore. That should help the cause. So cautious optimism. If you have to play a running back from the Bears, it's Khalil Herbert, but he's only a flex option. If you are rostering Roschon Johnson, remember, you didn't draft him for week one, so don't cut him after week one. Don't do that to yourself. Vegas and Denver. Be a goldfish, as Ted Lasso once said. Have a short-term memory when it comes to things like contract disputes, and that applies to one Josh Jacobs. The ink is dry. He signed the contract. All of that stuff is ancient history, and if you are the Raiders, you're going to get your $12 million worth out of him. He's RB8 for me. I have some questions about Davante Adams. He's going to see Surtain for a good bunch of the game. He's got Jimmy G throwing him the ball, but I don't care. He's wide receiver 7. He's a top 10 until he proves us otherwise. This is a great matchup for Denver. On paper, the Raiders may be the worst defense in the league. If they're not, they're a bottom 5 defense for sure. So Russell Wilson, QB 17. Jerry Jeudy could be back on the field. So both Jeudy and Sutton would be wide receiver 3s. The one area that I am being cautious with is the backfield. Yes, Sean Payton said Javonte Williams will play a big role. But what does that mean? What is a big role to Sean Payton? Because I know what a fantasy manager thinks is a big role, but Sean Payton is not a fantasy manager. He's a head coach. So I have him at 27 and Samaje Perine at 32. They're both flex worthy. I do expect to see a good bit of Perine in this game, but not going overboard on Javonte Williams. Cautious optimism. Philly, New England, you're starting every piece of the Philly passing game. Duh. But the backfield is a mess. Currently, all 4 running backs are listed atop the depth chart. Swift, Gainwell, Penny, and Boston Scott. If I had to choose one, it's Swift. I really don't want to choose one, so hopefully I don't have to choose one. On the other side, there's really only one viable option in this game. It's Ramondre Stevenson. They still only have 2 running backs on the active roster, and even if they call one up from the practice squad, I expect to see a lot of Stevenson. I really want to fade the passing game, though, because Philly has, as we know, last year they were a historically good pass rush and a very good secondary, and there's not much that's changed there. So it could be a long day for Mac Jones and company. Miami and the Chargers, I have the Chargers at 5.7-point favorites. By the way, Philly was a 4.2 favorite. But Miami and the Chargers, this one could be so much fun. I am getting my popcorn ready for this game. I am loading up on this game in DFS. I'm starting pretty much every piece of the passing game on either side that I can. There's no tight end to be spoken for in Miami, but Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, even if you needed a streamer. Obviously, we're starting Eckler. And heck, Raheem Mostert's in a very good spot as a flex option. There are 2 players who I'm not using. Devon Achane, because I want to see what his usage looks like. And Quentin Johnston, obviously, because he's the number 4 on the depth chart. However, if you drafted Quentin Johnston and he doesn't do anything this week, don't drop him. You didn't draft him for this week, and depth charts are always fluid. He could move at some point in the season. And I want to give these guys a little bit of a runway before I freak out. So I want to see what happens over the next few weeks with guys like Quentin Johnston. Rams, Seattle. I have Seattle 5.9-point favorites. With Cooper Kupp out, the beneficiary is Tyler Higbee. I have him at tight end 6. It's not Van Jefferson, who's a downfield threat. It is Tyler Higbee, who is a short and intermediate guy like Cooper Kupp. He has the existing chemistry with Matthew Stafford, so I'm using him. Van Jefferson, if I could avoid it, I will. This is a good matchup for Cam Akers. He comes in at RB15. Seattle gave up a lot to the run last year. On the other side, keep an eye on, we're using DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Geno Smith is a top 10 option for me, but keep an eye on Kenneth Walker, still dealing with the groin injury and popped up as a limited after getting full work in on Wednesday, so limited on Thursday. If he doesn't go, Zach Charbonnet will move up into RB2 territory. He will be a top 20, if not a top 15 option. Dallas and the Giants, this one is pretty straightforward, right? Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, yes, yes. Saquon Barkley, Darren Waller, yes, yes. After that, Dak and Daniel Jones, for me, are the only other potential viable options. By the way, Dallas 3.9-point favorites. But I have Dak at 14, Daniel Jones at 15. If Dak's your only quarterback, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Just use him. If Daniel Jones is your only quarterback, you missed on getting a safe option. So that's something to note for next year's drafts. If you're drafting an upside guy, you really probably should draft a safe guy in case the upside guy doesn't hit. Daniel Jones was decent for fantasy last year, but he's not guaranteed to hit. So just be careful there. Should be a fun game, but there's not much. It's not like chock full of fantasy assets. I guess Brandon Cooks could be a flex option as well if you really needed it. I don't have any shares of him, so that's why I keep forgetting about him. All right, rounding it out, Buffalo and the Jets. I have Buffalo at 4.2-point favorites. We know we're starting, you know, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, who cares about the matchup. Gabe Davis is at 38 among wide receivers for me. Possibly a flex. Dalton Kincaid at tight end 17, so I'm not going overboard with him this week either, but I am going to keep a close eye on it. The player who's most intriguing to me is James Cook. Despite his size, despite his usage last year, it does look like this dude is essentially the feature back in this offense. I'm not going overboard because the matchup is not easy, but I do have James Cook at RB23, which is actually higher than either of the two Jets running backs, one of whom is his brother, Dalvin. So this will be interesting to see how they use it. How much Damian Harris and Latavius Murray do we see? On the other side, not using Aaron Rodgers here if I can get away with it at quarterback 18, but Garrett Wilson is locked in every week. The bigger question is about the backfield. We have heard from Robert Saleh that he is going to be cautious with Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook, for that matter. I would expect a split between these two, where Breece Hall maybe gets slightly more, so a 55-45. However, early in the season, I do expect to see all four running backs, if they dress, get usage. So that means Michael Carter will be out there. Izzy Abanikanda will be out there. That is not what you want to hear if you drafted Breece Hall at like RB15 or whatever, but it is only week one. I'm ranking Breece Hall at 31, Dalvin Cook at 35, which means I could flex them. I don't feel great about it. I could, but I'm also, again, acknowledging it is week one. We will have 16 more weeks of football ahead of us, and week one won't tell us very much of what to expect for that duration of those 16 more weeks. So don't freak out if things don't exactly work out for you. Make the highest percentage plays, which means really starting the highest ranked guys will give you your highest percentage plays because we want to start the guys most likely to score the most points. Don't worry about what your opponent's doing. If your opponent is starting a wide receiver and you have two quarterbacks and one of those quarterbacks it could stack that wide receiver, but your other quarterback is ranked higher, guess who you should start? The quarterback who is ranked higher. Because your objective is to score more points than your opponent, not to like negate your opponent or anything like that. That's flawed roster management, flawed start-sit decision-making. So if you want help on that front, of course, I have you covered at ftnfantasy.com. Updated rankings, I'll be updating them really straight on through the weekend. And the last update comes in between noon and 12:30 is when I'm posting all of those. So by 12:30 Eastern, right before kickoff on Sunday, that'll be locked there. You can make your final decisions and call it a day. If you want to get in over at ftnfantasy.com, remember the promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off. Also, ftndaily.com, we have a brand new optimizer, which is really awesome. So easy to use. I'll be honest, I didn't love our optimizer last year. This one is super easy, and I heard a rumor that starting in week two, there will actually be my own personal settings, so Ratcliffe settings in the optimizer, so you can play exactly how I play. Pretty cool stuff, right? All right, so that's going to wrap it up. Remember, follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and I appreciate everybody reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. The final winner of the Fantasy Plus subscription is at Billy Campbell. Billy, if that's you, you won, man. So go set up a free account at ftnfantasy.com if you don't already have one. Hit me up on Twitter. We'll take it from there. We'll hook you up with a year of Fantasy Plus. Well, maybe I'll get back to this contest at another point in the season here, but appreciate everybody who's reviewed so far. If you want to help me out, just review the show. It really, really helps the show out. All right, enjoy the football this weekend. Don't do anything too crazy, okay? Deep breath. It's only week one. Enjoy it, and I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.